What are we saying about the church? Just recently, I read something that triggered this thought, so I want you to think back with me. We're not going to do what we did a few weeks ago. I'm not going to have you close your eyes like I did with Noah because I heard some snores about halfway through. What was the last conversation you had with someone about the church? Could have been your spouse, it could have been your coworker, it could have been a child friend, or your child, a friend, a stranger. You could have been talking to yourself and even verbalizing some things out loud. How did that conversation go? Now, I don't mean what was the outcome. Were you talking about the church to someone and convinced him or her to visit or to study or whatever like that? I mean, how did the conversation progress? Was it a positive conversation or a negative conversation? And here's why I ask. I read an article recently where a mother was asking her wayward daughter why she was no longer a member of the church. And the response made my jaw drop. And it was scary. And it was heartbreaking. It was humbling. The young girl's answer was, "The way you always talked about the church, why should I be?" For years, this young lady had spent her life listening to her parents run down the church, run down the people, run down the worship, run down the leadership. And she concluded that the church was full of hypocrisy. It was full of flaws. It was full of inadequacy. And she had begun to model what she had witnessed. If the church is all of those things, and I cannot get anything good out of it, and I cannot say anything good about her, where's the attraction? Where's the reason to stay faithful? So again, what was the last conversation you had about the church? Maybe it was on the ride home. Maybe it was around the dinner table after worship last week. Maybe it was last night when you were getting ready for this morning, or it was this morning as you were getting ready. Maybe you had your last conversation about the church at the office with the person at the next desk or at the coffee pot. How did it go? Maybe you had it at the gym. Was it positive or negative? Did your conversation, the ride home, that sermon was so boring. Can't believe he chose that topic. I can't believe he used that illustration. I can't believe he talked 30 seconds longer than the time we gave him. Maybe your conversation, did you hear the song leader? Oh, he was off key the whole time. Why did he choose that song? He sings it too slowly. Or maybe it's, I hate it when so-and-so leads prayer. It's so long. Was your conversation like this? Did you hear what so-and-so did last week? I can't believe he had the audacity to show up for worship if he's going to act like that. He's such a hypocrite. Oh, there's so many hypocrites down there. I don't even know why I go. Maybe you made a comment that you attend the most unfriendly church in the world. Or, I can't believe our elders. Why did they make that decision? Our deacons never do anything. Maybe it's, I'm just not feeling it today. I don't feel like going to worship. Did you see who's leading singing? Or, I can't stand my Bible class. Or are you one of the ones who can only say positive things about the church? And you've learned to keep the rest of it to yourself. How did your last conversation about the church go? Now, I understand there is a side note here. There is a difference between having a private conversation with one of the elders, the eldership, with the preacher, over a legitimate concern. There's a difference between that and running down the church in front of others. And here's the point, and I'm going to repeat this at the end. The attitude, the relationship, and the loyalty our children exist toward the church for the rest of their lives, good or bad, is shaped and determined in large measure by our example, by what they hear us saying about the church. And I would expand that beyond our children to those in the community with whom we interact. I want you to remember that even whispered words in the front seat on the way home for worship about the song leader, the sermon, the Bible class, whatever, are going to be heard by little ears in the back. And we may just be blowing off steam. We may have a serious concern. The object of our criticism, our complaint, may be a very real issue. But we also may have the ability to forget easily what we said. But little ears do not. Others may not know the difference between us just blowing off steam and there being a legitimate problem that needs to be addressed. And regardless how easy it is for us to forget, those who hear with impressionable ears, children, the unchurched, the lost, the erring, those who do not know anything about the church, they may internalize those words, and those words may reappear, materializing in thoughts and deeds and lives and in relationship to the body. So I'm going to repeat, the attitude, relationship, loyalty our children exhibit towards the church. Why is my child no longer faithful? For good or bad is shaped and determined in large measure by our example. And the thing is, some of us understand that instinctively. Some understand that you're not going to talk negatively about the church in front of other people. Others do not. Others don't have the filter. Others are impulsive, whatever. And so it comes out. And so here are some suggestions about the church or reminders about the church that will help us say good things about the church in front of other people, in front of our children. Suggestion number one, remember who planned the church. He planned its nature, he planned its organization, he planned its purpose, and on and on and on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 down through verse 11. Paul writes, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church, so she has a mission, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he, refers back to God, carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, the body of Christ, not a building, but the individuals, was God's plan before the foundation of the world. Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The body was the eternal purpose of God. What right do we have to say negative things about the body that the perfect Creator spent more than 6,000 years perfecting? From Adam and Eve until Pentecost, God worked on the perfect moment and the perfect plan for the body of Christ. So you're going to tell me that in my 40 plus years of, quote, wisdom, I've learned enough that I have the right to insult 6,000 years worth of God's work? It's one thing to insult something that came about by accident, something that was established by a worthless vagabond, but insult the perfect plan of God? Seriously? In our lack of wisdom? Number two, remember to whom it belongs. The body's not yours to do with as you please. The body belongs, Matthew 16, 16 through 18, to her founder. Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, hey man, you're absolutely right. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I'm going to also say to you that you're Peter, And upon this rock, this confession that I'm the Christ, I will build my church. He didn't build Otis's church. He didn't build Simon's church. He didn't build Paul's. He built his church. Possessive. Ownership. And even the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The body, the church, belongs to the precious Lamb of God. No one else. Nobody else's name can be on it. What right do we have to say negative things about the body established and owned by the Son of God? And as we're going to see in a minute, filled by the people that He puts into her. It's one thing to insult something built by sinful man, but insult the very body of the Lamb? Really? It's a lot of audacity. Number three, remember what it cost. Do you remember the price tag on the church? Acts 20 and verse 28, and speaking to the elders, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so elders, he's saying to them, these elders have said, listen to me. God has given you oversight, protection of the flock, which He purchased with His own blood. That's a price tag you don't see at JCPenney or Walmart or Belk. We don't pay that much for anything. It cost Him absolutely everything. The church and those who make her up were purchased by the blood of the precious, innocent, perfect Lamb of God. He paid with His life to buy us. What right do I have to insult something that cost God in the flesh His life? If that's the price tag and He paid it, where do I get the nerve to go around insulting it? It's one thing to make fun of something of no value, but to make cutting remarks about the one-of-a-kind priceless church, I better be careful. Because He bought and died for those people. Number four. Remember, our mission is to bring others into the body. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The church is made up of those who were once lost and are now saved. And it is our mission to add to that number. It is our mission to go into the world and take those who are lost and help through Christ Jesus to translate them into the kingdom of light, to bring them into the body. And our homes are our number one mission field. And our second mission field is that social circle with which we interact, those that we love. What good will making fun of the church, cutting it down, insulting it, do toward accomplishing this mission? You know, if I'm going to insult the church in front of my children, how am I going to keep them in the body? If I'm going to insult the church in front of the world, how in the world am I ever going to get the church to even listen to me talk about the body? Much less come and be introduced to her. What right do I have to belittle the institution established to save us and those that we love? It's one thing to make fun of something with no purpose, but to insult the only source of safety in this world? Might want to think twice. Remember how Jesus feels about her. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul writes, husbands, love your wives. And he said, I'm going to give you an example of how to do it. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. The Lord loved this body more than he loved his own life. The struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane is between his will to live and his will to save us. His will to survive physically and his will to give us the only means of eternal life we would ever be given. And he decided in that discussion that he loved us more than he loved his own life. Father, not my will, but thine be done. If this is the eternal purpose, if this is the only way you have established that we're going to save the world, I'm in. And here's my life. What right do I have to run down something that means so much to the Son of God? Something that he loved more than he loved himself. You might get away with belittling something unloved and valueless, a slug on your driveway, but insult the bride that Jesus loved more than his own life? Not wise. Remember her composition. The body of Christ, and there are so many passages that we can reference. We've already referenced Matthew 28. You can reference Mark 16. You can reference Acts chapter 2. You can reference Paul being the chief of all sinners. What I want you to understand, the body of Christ is made up of rescued sinners, children of the King, and the bride of Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means several things. Number one, it means the fact that the church is made up of rescued sinners means, yes, those around us are going to stumble. There are going to be times that we can point and say, did you see what he did? Guess what? So will we. So we had better make sure that we have removed the beams from our own eyes before we go around insulting the specks in the eyes of those around us, Matthew chapter 7. Verses 1 through 5. The body is made up of rescued sinners. We have our faults. We can sum it up by saying it's made up of humanity. And we are a broken people that he is trying to perfect. And they're going to be hypocrites. There will be those who do not sing the way we want them to sing. There are going to be those who may pray longer than our attention span can handle. Your Bible class teacher may not be the best. There are going to be days that I'm boring. The elders may make decisions you do not understand because you don't have all the info. There may be a deacon who's not as busy as he thinks you should be. But rather than nitpicking, insulting, cutting down the church and belittling, why not pitch in and do the work yourself? Why not fix the problem? Why not keep it to yourself? Because in the grand scheme of things, is it going to cost you your salvation? If the song leader doesn't pick the song you want to sing? If you don't understand why the elders did what they did? But if you choose to insult and belittle and cut it down, it may cost your child his soul or your neighbor her soul. Second, the fact that the church is made up of children of the King means it's made up of the greatest people in the world, Matthew 11 and verse 11. Remember that context? Oh, John the Baptist. Jesus said, the greatest man ever born of woman, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Therefore, those people sitting around you who struggle in their spiritual lives, those people who sit around you and don't please you in their service of worship, they're still greater than anyone in the world. And we want to talk about them. We want to gossip about them. We want to insult them. Number three, the fact that the church is the bride of Christ, you can flip over to Ephesians chapter 5 if you want to, means that she's made up of the sanctified. She's made up of the cleansed. She's made up of the holy and the blameless who are without spot or wrinkle. Do we have our flaws? Absolutely. But as long as we remain in Christ, as long as we walk in the light, those things are constantly forgiven. And so we remain the bride of Christ. We remain the cleansed, the holy, the blameless, the without spot or wrinkle. Therefore, think twice before insulting someone that God said is perfect in the blood of His Son. No doubt you can add other things to that list. And there are a lot of other important things that we need to remember about the church, about who she is, what God has done for her, what He is doing through her, her purpose to grow spiritually, to grow numerically, to share the grace of God and all of those other things. But the point is this, it hurts when we meet those who harbor ill will toward the church. We're out in the community and we announce for whatever reason, either by question or just in conversation, that I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm a member of Mount Carmel. And it creates a frown. It creates a snarl. It creates negative comments. That hurts. It hurts even more when we see our children wander off and abandon what we've dedicated our lives to. It hurts even more when they look back on the church with hard feelings. What I want you to understand this morning is there may be a lot of reasons for those attitudes, but maybe we should check our attitudes too. Maybe we help create that thought process in their lives. When they heard us running down the eldership, and as they reach maturity, you have the same elders, what are they going to think about the eldership? What are they going to think about the song leader, the man presenting the lesson, if you've never said anything positive in their presence about those individuals? Maybe we led them down the paths that created the hard feelings and the negative thoughts. I cannot imagine anything more impactful to the view of others than our verbalized views of the church. And that is the one thing about the church that we can't control. We're not going to make the decisions for the elders. We're not going to lead the singing for the man that's up here. You're not presenting the... You can't control those things, but you can control how you react to them, what you say about them, and how other people view them. So I repeat, the attitude, relationship, and loyalty our children, as well as the friends around us, co-workers, etc., express concerning the church is shaped and determined, good or ill, mostly by our example. And so this morning I beg you, please, please be very, 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 very careful what you say about the body of Christ. Because it will carry weight in this world for the rest of the lives of those around us. And I believe, just like every other careless word, we will be called into account for it. And if we've run people off from the church by the way we've talked about her, that's going to be a big negative on our accounts. The bride of Christ, the body, the blameless, the holy, the spotless, the without wrinkle, all of that starts at Calvary. All of that starts with the mission statement that we have in Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16. Going to all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The formula cannot be any more simple. The formula cannot be any more straightforward. I want to be the bride of Christ. I want to be the saved. Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to be spotless. I want to be without wrinkle. I want to present the right image for the church. Believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you come out ironed without wrinkle. You come out spotless by the greatest launderer in the world. And then as a Christian, present the right image in everything that you say and do. And at least those with whom we interact will never have anything negative to say about the church. If you're subject to the invitation to be spotless this morning, please come as we stand and sing.